If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, and we're going to be looking at chapter 17, but we're going to start with the last couple of verses of chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be looking at verses 27 and 28. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this evening. I just pray that this will be a blessing, that we will receive what you would have for us this evening. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, a few months back, I was able to preach here on a message called Visions of Christ. And we went through several different parts of Scripture pointing out what Christ is going to look like, particularly when he returns. And this will be one of those visions. This is one such vision. We're going to be looking at the account of the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, as we begin our look at this chapter, I want to give us a little bit of background on Matthew 16 because it kind of helps put things in context for us. Peter had recognized Jesus as the Christ or the Messiah, and Jesus said that he would build his church and Jesus himself would be the founder and the foundation of his church. But when Jesus told the disciples that he would be killed in Jerusalem by the Jewish religious leaders, Peter took hold on him and said, "It shouldn't happen that way. May it never be, Lord." And of course, Jesus told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Pretty harsh words. You know, Jesus had a mission to complete, and the devil wasn't going to use Peter to keep that from happening. Well, Jesus was in the teaching mode with his disciples, and he went on to remind them to take up their cross because there's a cost to discipleship. Anyone who follows his own way of life and lives for himself will lose his life, but following the Lord and living as he means for us to live means finding true life and receiving heavenly reward. Matthew 16:27 tells us that before Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom, he will come in glory with his angels. And with that in mind, in verse 28 then, he said, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, that's a rather strange declaration. You know, now the disciples no doubt thought that Jesus was going to usher in his kingdom right away. And they may have thought that several of them would live long enough to see Christ set up his earthly kingdom. And yet, he had just told them that he was going to suffer at the hands of the Jews. So how could these things be? Well, within a few days of seeing what he did there in verse 28, Jesus would show Peter, John, and James a glimpse of his glory on what we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. And by the way, this event is also recorded by Mark in Mark chapter 9 and by Luke in Luke chapter 9. Now, I'll make a few references to those accounts because they help fill in a few details for us. So I want to play Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, and I hope the mic will pick this up.
"And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Jesus took his three closest disciples to a high mountain. And now Bible scholars aren't sure which mountain they went to, but it may have been Mount Hermon. It was a high mountain. Now, Luke says that Jesus went there to pray. And he also wanted to be alone with his men so that they could see an amazing spectacle. Luke says that Jesus was transfigured while he was praying. His appearance was changed. Another word for transfiguration here is metamorphosis. Jesus was transformed. And we think of metamorphosis like a caterpillar, you know, cocoon and turning into a butterfly and all that, a complete change. So Jesus was experiencing a complete change here. He began to shine with the glory of God. His clothes were bright white, and his face shone like the sun. John saw Jesus in a similar way in a vision that he had in Revelation chapter 1. Now, it'll be interesting to see what Jesus looks like when he sets up his earthly kingdom and rules for 1,000 years. He's coming on a white horse, and we'll have all kinds of soldiers with him and so on. You can read about that near the end of the book of Revelation. But he's certainly not going to be coming like a baby as he did his first time to the earth. Well, Luke's account tells us that the disciples were sleeping, and they woke up to see this incredible vision of Christ. While the disciples were looking at him, Moses and Elijah appeared. Elias is Elijah in Matthew here. And what an incredible thing it must have been to see these two great men of God. They were talking with Jesus. Now, Luke says that they were talking about his upcoming death in Jerusalem, but we don't have any more details than that. It would be 9 months to a year before Jesus was crucified, but his death was apparently uppermost in his mind at the time of his transfiguration. Now, we're not told how the disciples knew that these men were Moses and Elijah who stood with Jesus. Maybe they deduced who they were from the conversation that was taking place. Moses and Elijah were at this event because Moses was used of God to write the Mosaic Law, and Elijah was a prophet. Elijah also performed great miracles, as you may recall. Now, these two represented the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, or Old Testament scriptures, pointed to Jesus as Messiah and King. Well, Peter was excited about what they were seeing. You know, he spoke up, he showed his zeal for the Lord by suggesting they build three tabernacles or tents to commemorate Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Luke gives us the idea that Peter didn't really know what he had said. You know, I'm sure he hadn't really thought it through because of the excitement of the moment. Now, it's easy to criticize Peter for speaking out of turn, but, you know, I think Peter doesn't get the respect that he deserves. His heart seemed to be in the right place. After all, he was focused on worship. Well, Jesus didn't answer Peter. Instead, a bright cloud came over them all, and God the Father spoke from heaven. Now, the Lord had appeared in a cloud at other times in Scripture. You may recall that the Lord led the people of Israel on their wilderness journey. He shone as a cloud during the daytime, and a pillar of fire led the Israelites by night. Well, Jesus' disciples had never seen anything like this. They'd never seen God manifesting himself in a cloud. Seeing the cloud and hearing the voice of God the Father was something the disciples would never forget. Now, in Matthew 17, verse 5, God the Father spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." By the way, God said almost exactly the same thing in Matthew 3, verse 17, at Jesus' baptism. So if the Lord is well pleased with Jesus, it seems to me that he would be pleased with us the more we become like Jesus. And, you know, that's what he wants for each of us, to become more like Jesus. So another point about the voice of God here is that the Father provided a clear witness as to who Christ was and is. And I think the Apostle John recognized this, and he said as much later. Consider 1 John 5, and you don't have to turn there, but verses 7 and 9 point this out. Verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then verse 9 says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son." Now, as we come back to Matthew 17, God's words on the Mount of Transfiguration shut down Peter in a hurry. No matter how great these men of God were who appeared with Jesus, it's Jesus himself who God wanted the disciples to focus on. Jesus was greater than Moses, and Jesus was greater than Elijah. Of course, as we know, Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus is the one God wants you and I to concentrate on or focus on as well. Remember, God is a jealous God who wants all of our adoration. He will share his glory with nobody else. In John 17, verse 25, Jesus prayed that all of his disciples should be with him so that he can show off his glory. What a time that will be, right? So God wants us to hear the voice of Jesus, just as he wanted Peter, James, and John to hear the voice of Jesus. In the here and now, if you and I aren't seeking to hear from the Lord, we're missing out on God's best. Now, in Matthew 17, 6 through 9, the vision concludes, and the disciples saw Jesus as they knew him. Now, let's give a listen to Matthew 17, verses 6 through 9.
"And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.' And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.'"
So seeing the bright cloud and hearing God's voice made Peter, James, and John sore afraid, as the scriptures put it. In other words, they were terrified. And they fell down to the ground on their faces. And I think we would all react the same way. We would if we had any sense, I think. You know, I'm of the opinion that we all need a healthy dose of fear of the Lord now and then. You know, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Okay, so let's come back to Matthew 17 verse 7 here. I love what this verse tells us. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.'" This is so moving to me. It brings tears to my eyes whenever I think about it for very long. Jesus touched his three disciples one by one and told them not to be afraid. You know, he could have chided them from a few feet away and said something like, "On your feet, men, up, we got work to do," you know? But he didn't do that. Instead, he reached out and he touched them one by one, and he gently told them not to be afraid. The accounts of this in Mark and Luke don't mention that Jesus touched his disciples. And I'm so glad that Matthew does tell us this. When the disciples looked up, they saw nobody else there but Jesus in his human form, the way they had always known him. Soon they started back down the mountain, and Jesus told them not to tell the vision to anybody until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. The disciples likely didn't understand this reference to Jesus' resurrection, but they obeyed what he told them. They kept this amazing vision to themselves. You know, Jesus trusted them with a secret that would have been hard to keep. I mean, this was such an incredible thing. And, you know, maybe there's a reason Jesus only took three of the disciples. You know, I'm just speculating here, but if the other disciples would have been there, somebody would have gone out and blabbed about everything that happened. So, you know, Jesus took his three closest disciples. You know, they were trustworthy. And now the other disciples did hear about this because, you know, Matthew gives us his account. Surely Peter, John, or James, maybe all three, told him about it and told the other disciples about it. And, you know, Mark and Luke give accounts of the amount of transfiguration. And obviously, they weren't among Jesus' 12 disciples. So the word got around. But they did obey, and they withheld telling about it until after Jesus was resurrected. So Peter, James, and John had what we would call a mountaintop experience. And as we each know well, the Christian life has its ups and downs, right? Its peaks and valleys. It's not all a glorious mountaintop experience. But the Lord is there with us through it all. Thank God for that. Incidentally, here's a bit of totally useless trivia for you. The Christian radio station that I worked for in Pennsylvania in the mid-80s was located on a high hill, and they said they were the mountaintop experience. And their frequency was also near the top of the FM dial at 107.5. They were the loudest signal at the top of the dial right there in that particular area. Anyway, back to Matthew 17. What the disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration was nothing short of life-changing. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. And as fantastic as his experience was, notice what Peter said in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. In other words, no matter how powerful experiences are, the written word of God is supreme, and we must give it our attention first and foremost in the time that we have left to us. Perhaps we'll be raptured soon, and maybe we won't have that much time, but the word of God is supreme. It is all important. Now, you and I may not have an experience like what Peter, James, and John had, but the Lord will reveal himself more the more we get into his word. The scriptures and the indwelling Holy Spirit work together to transform you and me. God wants to show us more of himself. Now, the challenge for us is, will we let the Lord transform us? Would you stand as we prepare for invitation, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this account, this glorious account of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, and the reminder that God gave to the disciples that we need to heed as well, that Jesus is the one in whom you, the Father, are well pleased, and may we be more like Jesus. Help us to be more like Jesus. May we be set apart from the rest of the world, and they may not see a bright, shining figure like the disciples saw, but may they see something different in each of us. May they see something that's attractive and godly. I thank you for this time of looking into your word, and I just ask your blessing on each of us as we go our separate ways, and thank you for taking care of us and for looking after us, no matter what the situation, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether in the valley. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.